Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Season of Sports with me, Azmir Begovic. Love being with you guys, as always. Trying to do this, obviously, a little bit more regularly now after a bit of a hiatus. Hope you enjoyed our episode a couple weeks ago, and it's nice to get another one to you guys so soon once again. Lots of stuff to get into over the last couple weeks. Plenty of sports action all around the world. We're going to get into a bunch of storylines. We're, of course, going to then finish up with a huddle. That's the part of the show where I answer your questions through social media. And, you know, I'm very grateful for you guys for the support of the pod and getting your questions in and having that interaction with you guys. So it's been awesome. And those questions have been really, really cool each and every time we've done this. So thanks for following us and getting those questions in. But first thing I wanted to start off with was obviously my debut for AC Milan. Was very fortunate to be able to come on and you know, make an appearance and represent this amazing club. A shame we couldn't get all 3 points. And, you know, it's never nice under the circumstances of somebody else getting injured. But, you know, it was nice to come on and help the team and get a result in a difficult place to go. And, of course, a difficult atmosphere. So, you know, we'll take the point and move on and hopefully push on for the rest of the season. So dream come true for me, obviously, and just a really, really cool feeling all around. Very proud moment for my family and everyone surrounded. So, yeah, it's great to be here, help this team, guide some of the younger players, of course, and obviously help us be as successful as possible. So I'm going to get into some NFL news. I'm going to get into some NBA news, and I'm going to get into some baseball this week. So those are the main storylines. Obviously, got to touch on a little bit of football, Champions League action over the last couple of weeks. Plenty of crazy games. Maybe a couple of surprising score lines. Bayern Munich looked incredibly strong. Obviously against Chelsea, that was a huge result for them. That probably a standout result, I think, of the competition in this stage. So that was an incredible result, and just a lot of really good games, a lot of really good teams. You know, it's a great stage now. It's going to get nice and tasty as the season finishes, especially in the Champions League. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see how the next games and the return legs turn out. So we're going to get started with some NFL talk. Plenty to get into. Touched a little bit of free agency last time with Tom Brady and the Patriots. Nothing really has moved on there. He's biggest fish out there, so to say. A lot of teams courting him. He's obviously playing the field. Nothing too much to report there. There doesn't seem to have been much contact with the Patriots, which for me as a Patriots fan is incredibly worrying. So we'll see. You know, I keep saying it once again, it's all about the Patriots building that supporting cast. I was tweeting into the Pat's 4th and 2 podcast to Derek Havens and those guys, Russ Goldman, and I wanted to get their feedback on what it would take to keep Tom Brady. And, you know, I thought it was a supporting cast, and I asked them what they should get. And then we talked about Stephon Diggs. I mean, if Stephon Diggs is available from the Vikings, give him your first-round pick. It's time to show Tom Brady, and it's time to whoever the quarterback is, because what if Tom Brady leaves? Are you going to go into a complete rebuild, or are you going to try and stay as competitive as possible? Because if you can get pieces like Stephon Diggs and get another tight end weapon, then whoever your quarterback is, you know, you're still going to be competitive. And as a Pats fans, I'm not a huge fan of tanking. Sometimes rebuild is necessary, of course, but I think there's still enough pieces to be competitive and try and make a run for it. I mean, maybe the championship isn't out there, but you know, I still think it's a smart thing to do if you can gather these assets. First and foremost, gives you the best possible chance to re-sign the likes of Tom Brady. But then even if Tom Brady goes, you still have a competitive team. So I don't see what the difficulties are and what the negatives, huge negatives would be to acquire someone like Stephon Diggs, in my opinion. The one place I have to say I wouldn't want Tom Brady to go to, I think it would be a great show, it would be a great spectacle, and it'd be sort of great on the surface, would be the Las Vegas Raiders. I just think that doesn't feel like a Tom Brady move to me. I mean, the glitz and glamour. You know, if he does leave the Patriots, I really hope that he goes to a good team. You know, I want him to be successful and go for the right reasons, because I can genuinely say that if he goes to a team like I mentioned last time on the pod, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think they have some scary weapons, maybe even the Tennessee Titans, Dallas Cowboys, and even for that matter, the LA Chargers. But to go to somewhere like the Raiders, you know, maybe just for money or something, I don't know. I'm not sure that would sit too well with Pats fans, as much as he deserved the right to do what he wants. But I think, from my opinion, if he goes for a football decision somewhere because he's got a better team and a better chance of winning, then you know, fair play to him and good luck to him. But that's the one. They're talking about 2 years, $60 million. I know that's an incredible amount of money to say no to, and I'm sure he'll make good money wherever he goes. But at that age, surely it's got to be about winning. And hopefully, if the Pats can get those weapons in, then he'll stay. Then he'll stay, and that's what we all want. But other than that, nothing too crazy to report on the free agency side. Alec Ogletree, one of the captains for the Giants, has been let go. Josh Norman, I don't know if I mentioned last time, he's been released. Greg Olsen signed with the Seahawks, 1 year, $7 million deal. So a couple of different bits and pieces, you know, looking ahead to the middle of March when it's all going to kick off. So very, very interesting. But one thing I wanted to get into with you guys is the NFL draft. I'm really going to geek out on that subject. We're going to get into some picks. We're going to get into a lot of different information over the next couple of months before the draft happens. I'll even do my own mock draft. I'm absolutely fascinated with putting teams together and running organizations and player evaluations and what these GMs are doing and how they're putting these teams together and getting these picks out there. So the draft fascinates me, especially the NFL draft, because there's so many variables into it, and it goes into it with a combine. And then, of course, how free agency sets it up. And that will also show a lot of teams what their glaring need will be going into the draft. And we're going to dissect some of these prospects heading into the draft. And like I said, I'll do my mock draft sometime before the draft, and we'll go into it. But we're really going to dive nose first into this and really get into it. So it's the draft combine this week in Indianapolis. That's where a lot of the players do their individual tests, the 40, the jump tests, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So the physical element, they're going to do some interviews with the franchises. I think that's a hugely critical component of the combine, where a team has a chance to sit down with certain prospects and just get an idea of what they're like as a person, what they're feeling, what they think they can do for them. And I think before you invest a lot of money and commit to a certain prospect, you want to get to know that person as good as possible. So I think that's a huge part of this week. You know, and then I think just the meetings between agents and general managers and executives and all these people, all these things are going to happen this week. They're such an important part of this whole week. You know, it's, I think when you separate everything, it's probably a 30-30-30 percent in terms of importance for the week. You have the on-field stuff, you have the interviews, and then of course you have all the off-field stuff for the agents and getting people locked down. I think San Francisco 49ers have got a couple of big decisions to make, the likes of Greg Kittle. He's going to have to be extended, I'm sure. They want to keep him around. So meetings like that will be happening this week. So it's definitely the place to be, Indianapolis. You've got all the big NFL people in one place at one time. And I think that creates for a lot of buzz and a lot of energy in Indianapolis. And I think also it gives you really something to focus on and get everyone talking about. So a lot of different things are going to come out of this week, a lot of storylines. I mean, first and foremost, you have the what many people perceive to be the projected number one pick, and that's Joe Burrow, the quarterback out of LSU, the Ohio boy going to the Bengals. A lot of people want him to not go to the Bengals. A lot of people see that the Cincinnati Bengals as a dysfunctional franchise and with a cheap owner, a place where they can't attract free agents, and maybe a place where they don't look after players. I mean, someone like Carson Palmer, who was one of the number one pick back in the day by the Bengals, he's recommended to Joe Burrow not to go to the Bengals, which for me is crazy. I think if you're a football player, I think if you're aspiring NFL player to have, first of all, to have the dream realized to play in the NFL, to be picked by any team is, a valuable thing. I think it's a blessing. And then, of course, if you have the chance to be the number one pick, I mean, that's how it doesn't get any bigger than that. So I don't, how do you as a player say no to something like that. And I think in the NFL as well, with the equality that there is, I think with the salary cap and how teams can take big steps in a very short space of time, they can rebuild franchises very, very quickly. I know they might not have had a track record of being the best ever and doing things maybe the absolute highest level, but I think they've done some good things. And you know, drafting someone like Joe Burrow can change your franchise, and I think he's going to be the number one pick. I think it's a great package. He's an Ohio boy. That team, that franchise needs a poster boy, needs someone to build around that centerpiece, and I think Joe Burrow would be that guy. Like I said, that connection to home and growing up in that state, I think is undervalued. He's going to have a connection to that city, to that fan base more than people know. So as I said, a lot of storylines going to come out this week, and you know, surely, let it behold, if it came out that he has small hands. His hands were measured. His hands are on the smaller side. Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes were in that same range. So, you know, I don't see that as a huge issue. I mean, everything matters. Everything you measure, everything you test matters, of course. But he's played in Ohio basically his whole life. He was at Ohio State, transferred to LSU. You know, and he seemed to cope quite well. So he will be used to the cold weather conditions. He'll be used to throwing that ball in those types of temperatures. So I don't see that being as much of a problem as if he wasn't used to it. You know, I think it could be an issue if you're a warm weather kid, California kid, and you've only ever played in beautiful sunshine. Then maybe going to the cold of Cincinnati could be an issue. But I think overall, he's going to be the number one pick. I don't see any way that he won't. I really, unless he flat out says he won't play there, which he hasn't yet. So I think it'll be very tricky for him to turn down one of his home state teams. Then you go into the Redskins at number two. What are they going to do? I think you're looking at Chase Young, the defensive end from Ohio State, which, by the way, after Nick Bosa and those boys, that is one production line of defensive linemen. It's incredible. What they're doing at Ohio State. I'm surprised they haven't snapped up the defensive line coach. Someone in the NFL hasn't snapped him up and taken him to train and develop their offensive linemen in the NFL. So there you go. I mean, people make their own decisions, and that's the way it goes. I think Chase Young goes to the Redskins. They drafted quarterback Dwayne Haskins last year, so you don't expect them to draft another quarterback this year. So I think Chase Young, which some people say is the best player in the draft. I mean, he's a very raw, very straight line defensive end, very powerful, very skilled with his hands. Maybe not as crafty as some others, but, you know, I think he's going to be a difference maker and a playmaker. And I think the Redskins could do well with getting him. Then it becomes tricky because then the Lions, the Detroit Lions get to number three. The New York Giants are number four. A lot of reports out there that both these franchises are willing to trade down, and draft lower down and get a few more picks or a few more assets through that sort of a deal. I think personally that would be a little bit of a mistake. I think drafting at certain places and getting those players is not something that can be done every single year. I personally think the Lions should draft one of the best players in the draft, which is Tua Tagovailoa. He's the quarterback from Alabama. He's had a hip injury, which has put a lot of people off. But I think if they're comfortable with that, they have Matt Stafford, and Tua can sit for a year, and he can learn. He can be crafted into an NFL quarterback. Pat Mahomes sat for a year behind Alex Smith with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you guys remember, and that didn't do him any harm. So you don't get a chance all the time to pick in these things, and ultimately the Lions want to get better, so they don't want to be in the top five draft picks again next year. So I think you have to go get that player, because in a year's time, you can then trade Matt Stafford. You can do something with him. And if Tua's ready to take over, you can get assets once again. So why not put yourself in the absolute strongest position possible for your franchise going forward? And if Tua's healthy, and we all expect him to be, of course, we always look on the positive side of things, he can be a huge difference maker. And I think the same goes for the Giants. You know, you need to go get playmakers. You have Daniel Jones, you have Saquon Barkley. You need to add to that. Think someone like Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver from Alabama. I think he can be a nice piece. You know, so ever since they traded OBJ, their wide receiving core has been a little bit thin. You get him. And then it becomes very interesting again with the Dolphins at five. The LA Chargers, who you don't see drafting in that sort of position very often, are number six. Are these two going to get a quarterback? Philip Rivers has left the Chargers. The Dolphins need a franchise quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if both these franchises go for a quarterback, whether it's Justin Herbert from Oregon, whether it's Jordan Love from Utah State. Those are the sort of two main guys that come to mind. Jordan Love, some people say, is bigger upside than Justin Herbert because of his raw talent. Justin Herbert might be more of a finished product this moment in time. So which way do you go? I would not be surprised if those two go at five and six. So we'll see how this all plays out, what else we hear, what information we gather over the next couple of months. But like I said, guys, I'm going to dive headfirst into this NFL draft, and I love analyzing it, love listening to about it from the likes of Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, all those boys in the States. Love hearing their thoughts on these things and getting as much information as we can. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Let's move into some NBA talk. Latest news, obviously the All-Star game was epic. And nothing too much to report at the top end of the NBA. The Lakers are going incredibly well. They're in cruise control at the top of the West. The Milwaukee Bucks, cruise control in the East. So nothing too much to report there. The Rockets, you know, Clippers are doing their thing with the load management. One team that has cooled off a little bit in the East is the Miami Heat. We'll see if they can rebound and what they can do. But actually, recently we were able to witness some amazing games. I was able to watch live, you know, great NBA Sundays, amazing for the European time zone. That we need to have that more showcase game, the Lakers and Celtics, 2-point win for the Lakers in the end. You know, and you can just see if that's the sort of finals preview, we get these kind of caliber teams in the finals, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. Jason Tatum's blowing up. That kid's becoming a superstar right in front of our eyes. I mean, he's taking that leap incredibly fast. So he's incredible. But those are two good teams going at it. And you can just see the Lakers' depth a little bit kind of got him that win. The bench rose to the occasion. Rondo was there. The Lakers have beefed up their bench with Markieff Morris. He's a buyout from the Pistons. I've also read that they're going to take a meeting with Deion Waiters. Again, if you can get him 70-80% right, he can someone who can make plays, get buckets. And I just think you can never have too big of a roster. If these guys are willing to play their part, understand their role, not create any problems for the chemistries on these teams, then they can make a big impact. And then this past Tuesday, we were able to see Zion Williamson against LeBron James. And the Lakers won this game in the end. LeBron went off 40-plus points. He likes to flex his muscles from time to time and show that at his age, even at the age of 35, he's still the best player in the league. MVP. So he was able to really use that showcase and that platform to show everyone what he's made of. And Zion just got a nice, easy 29. So he's going to be a special player. And actually, we'll see what the Pelicans can do, whether they can chase down the Memphis Grizzlies for the 8th spot. Memphis has got an incredibly tough schedule between now and the end of the season. The Pelicans have the easiest. Portland, I think, would have been my favorite if Damian Lillard was fit and available. He's injured at the moment, so whether that's going to set them back enough to put him out of contention, we'll see. But it's going to be a nice fun race for that 8th seed. One team we have to touch on in the East is just the chaos that is the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons now has gotten injured. He seems to be having a problem with his back long term. No one's given any definite dates. No one's given us much more information than that he's out for the indefinite future. Now, what that means, I don't know. But that obviously gave Joel Embiid the freedom to put up 49 in the first game with Ben Simmons out. So I'm not sure if these two can coexist. I really don't know. I always believe that this is going to be a big summer for the Philadelphia 76ers. Brett Brown, their coach, is, I think, also in the hot seat. This is either going to be a team that are going to get success this year, which I thought they would, with just the talent that they had assembled. But if they don't, if this is a first-round playoff exit, maybe even a second round, I think they could blow this thing up and see which one of these guys they build up, you know, build a franchise around. And it's going to be interesting because I think this team is just just a circus at the moment, just a drama. Great to watch for us fans, but I'm sure not a lot of fun for the Philadelphia fans over there. And last thing in basketball I want to touch on was the Kobe Bryant Memorial at Staples Center this past Monday, which was on the 24th of February. Just an incredibly emotional event. How Vanessa Bryant went up there and did what she did, I'll never know. Massive amounts of respect to her, Michael Jordan, what he talked about, and the emotion that was on his face. And of course, Shaquille O'Neal coming up as well and talking so beautifully, Diana Taurasi. Just a legend, was honored the right way. And, you know, there's never going to be enough able to be done for Kobe Bryant to show the appreciation we have as sports fans and as basketball fans for him. That's all the NBA talk. We're going to touch on baseball now. Spring training is very much underway. Season is about a month away. I can't wait. Huge baseball fan. It's going to be a great year. And a lot of news from my Yankees. Concerning news at that, I have to say. Luis Severino, star pitcher, has been diagnosed with an elbow injury that's going to require Tommy John surgery. That means he's out for the next year or so, if not more. Giancarlo Stanton has got a calf strain once again. Aaron Judge has been out with shoulder soreness. James Paxton is out, one of the other star pitchers. So their depth is going to be tested immediately once again. Last year, this team had an incredible next man up mentality. Cope with absolutely everything to win over 100 games, and gonna have to do the same again this year. Thank God that they acquired Gerrit Cole. Tanaka behind him is a solid pitcher. Thankfully they held on to J.A. Happ. Montgomery's back. Whether Davey Garcia from the minors is ready to step up and provide a bit of contribution, we'll wait and see. But obviously with the signing of Gerrit Cole to that $324 million contract, it shows that the Yankees are all in. So I'm sure if there's a move in the off in the season during or before the trade deadline, then if that's going to make them better, then they're going to go all out and get this guy. And I think it might be something that they're going to have to do because the Rays are good. The Twins are good. The Angels have gotten a lot better. The Astros, even though they're scandal, they're going to be good. Oakland Athletics are going to be good. Indians are good. So this is going to be a very difficult division to get out of first and foremost, and of course then win the American League. So let's wait and see, but let's just hope no more injuries for now, even though I don't know what's happened to the Yankees over the last 15 months. It's just been injuries galore. But Miggy Andujar is back. He's taken some reps in left field. So interesting to see the Yankees trying him out there. So hopefully the depth is going to be there to cope with these injuries and take them on from there. So we'll see how the rest of spring training works out. But I'm very hopeful, and you know, I've got my fingers crossed that these injuries are going to slowly start to slow down. This podcast brought in association with my online shop. Guys, if you love your goalkeeping products, if you love your goalkeeping gloves, make sure you check out AB1GK, which is my glove brand. Shop.asmir1.com is where you can get all your products. Check it out. We've got some of the best goalkeeper gloves that I trust to wear out there. We've got some t-shirts. We've got some hoodies. We've got some water bottles. So knock yourselves out with some accessories. But yeah, just go check out our online shop. Now we're going to move on to the huddle. This is the part of the show where I answer some of your questions. I really appreciate you guys sending them in via Twitter, via Facebook, via Instagram. We're all over social media. Keep them coming in, guys. Love hearing from you and love answering as many of your questions as I can. We've got our first question from Milan Obsession. These guys have been awesome, guys. Thanks for retweeting my podcast and listening and sharing as much as you can. If CAS upholds Man City's punishment from UEFA for financial fair play violations, do you think they should also have their Premier League title stripped from 2012-2016? Did their financial fair play violations impact the competition on the Premier League? Well, let's wait and see what the verdict is, first and foremost, how this all works out, any appeals, anything that goes on before we make a full decision. Of course, it had an impact on everything. Whether they're going to have anything stripped, I don't think so. We just had it in baseball with the Astros winning the World Series. It's always going to be tainted, unfortunately. Every club, you know, I think Juventus had it in the past. Any of these scandals are going to sit with these clubs for the future. But I don't think they will have any titles stripped. And did it have a competition in the Premier League? Of course it does. You know, when you can have such a great team and be able to bend the rules like that, then obviously it's never the best sign. The next question comes from, also on Twitter, by the way, comes from Emmy. This is Emily L. White on Twitter. She says, the Hurricanes needed to use their emergency goalie in a game. He was a 42-year-old Zamboni driver, which is the Zamboni's, I think they clean the ice with, who was an employee of the Leafs minor league team. Is the NHL the dumbest sport? What's the most ridiculous emergency goalie situation you've seen in the Premier League? Yeah, I mean, what a crazy... This happens in hockey. I mean, I still for the life of me never understand why they don't have three. I mean, we always have three goalkeepers in football. Why don't they have three? I mean, I know if one goes down, the second is there. And then can you call someone up in such short notice? I mean, especially because some of their minor league teams are not that close, you know. So if you have any flight issues, you know, you're going to have someone else in. I mean, if there's a way for them to bring a third goalie on the roster and have him activated, then I think this will solve a lot of these issues, you know, to answer your question in terms of being hockey, being a bit of a dumb sport in this regard. That would be my first suggestion. But have I seen in the Premier League? No, I can't remember off the top of my head anything in the Premier League. I think one of the most, I wouldn't say emergency, but one of the most interesting sub-goalie situations was at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil when Louis van Gaal substituted Tim Krul and in the last minute of extra time for Jasper Cillessen. And he was then to go on and save the penalties to bring him to the, you know, bring him victory. I think it was the semifinal, it was the quarterfinal. That's something that I thought was interesting, and never haven't seen that happen many times before, to bring him maybe a penalty specialist on like that. So he was able to secure victory for them and get him into the next round. So I think that was probably the craziest backup deputy in situation in football that I can remember. The next question we have from also on Twitter is from Ross Devonport. He's at that Ross Bloke, very cool Twitter name. How do we fix VAR? Well, isn't that just a question? That is an incredible question. I think, you know, I've been in some captains' meetings in the Premier League in the last couple of years, and obviously when people have talked about these issues with VAR, the idea of bringing VAR on was to get more correct decisions, to get the percentage of correct decisions up. I think the only way you can fix VAR, the only way you can keep it somewhat clear, is to clear up the rules. Is it the referee that's deciding? Can you overrule a referee? Who's making all decisions? How exactly decisions made? But yeah, it's never going to please everyone. We didn't have VAR. Everyone wanted technology. Now we have technology. Now they don't want technology. For people, it's different. You know, the decision makers in the game have it tough. You know, like I said, the Premier League executives and Serie A and La Liga executives, they have a tough job, because it's very, very difficult to please everyone. I have to say, I don't know how they're going to do it. But I just think keep the rules as simple as possible so that everyone knows what's going on. But still going to be mistakes. Like I said, it's the main objective was to bring the percentage of rules, decisions, correct decisions up. And that's why they decided on it. We've got a question on Facebook. Alden Besarevich, how were you informed by Kobe's death, and what does he actually mean, especially to you, but from your point of view, to the fans around the world, how did you react to the news? Well, I was at a dinner with friends here in Milan, a couple of my teammates, I saw it come up, pop up on my phone, breaking news. And yeah, completely lost my appetite. Had to go home. I was in disbelief, to be honest, to digest these sort of news. I still am in shock now, to be honest. I still can't believe it. I almost refuse to believe it. I mean, just one of the greatest basketball players of all time passed away in such a young age. I mean, we have so much to give to the world. Is yeah, something you can't really comprehend, to be honest. And yeah, it affected me. Still affects me now as a sports fan, basketball fan. And it's just incredibly sad news. And you know, we just have to now, as a society, as athletes, continue his legacy and do our best in that. But that's going to bring me to the end of this podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Keep listening to us on Audioboom, iTunes, Spotify. Please leave us a review. Get your kids, friends' phone. Subscribe to us, like us, review us. Give as much feedback as you possibly can. And help this podcast grow. Appreciate your support, guys. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back with you soon.